Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our gracious God, our Father in heaven, so thankful we are that we are here in thine house. And we have assembled ourselves, Father, together to hear what thy Spirit would speak to us. Lord, that we would be drawn into thy presence, and Lord, that we might feel thee, Lord, within our hearts, within our minds, and within our souls. Lord, we long for a spiritual union with thee, and Lord, that we might know thee and would be able to call thee our Father and to have this relationship with thee. And so, Father, as a message would go forth this evening, Father, we just prayed, Lord, that thou would bless it to our hearts and to our souls, for we ask this in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. For this evening's reading, let's turn to Genesis chapter number 13. Genesis 13. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzites dwelled then in the land. And Abraham said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my brethren and or my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked, and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. May the Lord bless the I recognize that this is now the fourth service in a row that we've read from the Old Testament, but yet the Word of God is full and it is complete, and there are portions of Scriptures that we can learn from, and that includes the Old Testament. And so my prayer is that in this evening hour that we would consider this Scripture as from the Lord, and that it would serve as a warning to our lives, our spiritual lives, that the way we conduct our lives, that it might be well-pleasing unto the Lord, and that we might live lives that glorify the Lord through our gathering together in this evening. We read of a time here when Abram, who was very rich, the Bible here says that he was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold, that he was making his way, this was a time when he was making his way from Egypt back into the land of Canaan, where he was called to, and that the land was going to be given to him. And so they're coming from Egypt up through the south and heading up into the land of Canaan. And Lot is with Abram here, and all that they have, and whoever was with them, all their herdsmen, their servants, whoever they had with them, and they make their way, and they go up here to Bethel. And Bethel is just a little bit north of Jerusalem, so he made his way from Egypt up north a little bit into the southern portion of Israel and lands in Bethel. He stays there. And this Bethel means the house of God. And it was a place that earlier in time that Abraham made an altar there and worshiped the Lord in that place. And now he's coming back to this place. And the Bible here says that as he came back to this place, that he comes to this altar, and there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. This is who Abraham was, a faithful servant of the Lord, a man of faith who trusted in the Lord. And he comes, and as he gets here to Bethel, this city, and the house of God, the first thing he wants to do is worship the Lord. And so he has this altar, this place of remembrance of where he could look back to and say, the Lord was with me here, and he worships, and he calls on the name of the Lord. That this is who Abraham was, one who worshiped the Lord, one who had faith in his God, and he calls on the name of the Lord as he gets to this place. It says that Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. So here it was that they were both wealthy, they both had herds, and they both had tents, and they both had a lot of material goods, and they were considered wealthy, even as it says here, that Abraham was very rich. And so we need to remember and put this in perspective, even for our lives, that here it was that the Bible says that Abraham was very rich, and Lot was as well, but they dwelled in tents. None of us dwell in tents. And so God has been faithful to us as well and has given unto us much, and we can consider ourselves to be rich as well. And so we need to call on the name of the Lord, and we need to give God thanks for all that he was, that all he has done for us. And so it is that, so their riches are increased and their cattle is large, but they are in a barren land. This land here in Bethel is a more of a rocky desert type of an area with mountains and or hills, small mountains, and they have a lot of cattle, and as perhaps the herdmen of Lot and the herdmen of Abraham are trying to manage their cattle, that without having a lot of land, a good land for the cattle to graze on, that there's not enough to go around. And so there was strife between the herdsmen. And so Lot, being the senior one, Abraham, being the senior one, he gives Lot first choice. He says, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt go to the left hand, then I will go to the right, and if thou go to the right, then I will go to the left. And so Abraham gives Lot first choice, even though he was the senior of the two. He was an uncle to Lot. And so Lot looks, lifted up his eye, looks, and from the east of Bethel, where he is, lies the plain of Jordan. So the Jordan River flows through this area, and it's a valley. And in that valley, the Bible here says that it was well watered, and it was even as a garden of the Lord. It was a very good place for cattle. And so Lot looks on that to over to the east and sees this valley that's very fertile and well-watered, and it's even as a garden. And so he makes a choice. Well, I'll go there. If you're going to give me a choice, I'll go there. And perhaps that choice every one of us would make. The choice of that wasn't bad, except for that verse number 13 says that the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. This herein lied the problem. It would have been okay that if he would have gone there to a fertile land to have for his herd, but the men in that area were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Therein lied the problem. And so after they were separated, after Lot had gone down into the plain of the valley of Jordan, and he's there, he's setting up his tents there, and he's going to live and dwell there, the Lord comes to Abraham and says, Abraham, look around you. Look north, look south, look east, look west. It's all yours. It's all going to be yours. And so so it was that the Lord can work in ways that we don't fully understand, even as we just prayed together. When we rely upon our own wisdom, we make choices like, well, that's a fertile land, I'll go dwell there. But the Lord can bless, and the Lord can do great things, and there is nothing too great for the Lord. So the Lord was able still to bless Abraham, even as he dwelt in this more of a desert land that was rocky, not much to graze on for his cattle. The Lord still could bless him. And so the Lord did. The Lord said, look around you, Abraham. Look around you. It's all yours. This is all of this I'm going to give you. All the land that thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And the Lord says to Abraham, if a man can number all the dust of the earth, then he can number thy seed that you'll have. And so the Lord tells Abraham, walk around it. Go around. It's all yours. You don't have to stay here in Bethel. You can go wherever you want. It's all yours. And so actually Abraham did. He went south and he went to the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. So again, as he arrives in this place now, just as it was when he arrived in Bethel that he called upon the name of the Lord, now as he arrives in Hebron, which is a little south of Jerusalem, he does the same thing. He calls on the Lord and he makes an altar there. Again, a remembrance that the Lord just blessed me. The Lord has told me that all of this land is mine, and that my seed will be great, and that it's going to be as the dust of the earth. And so he's recognizing all these things, and he builds an altar to the Lord, and there was a remembrance there made for him. He was blessed very much. He had faith. And despite what was left to him of the choices, God still blessed him. Jesus says that if a man seeks to save his life, he will lose it. And so it was with Lot, that he sought to save his life, but in the end, he lost everything that he had. In the end, after Sodom and Gomorrah was getting destroyed, he left with nothing. He had nothing. He lost everything. But the Lord blessed Abraham. The Lord blessed him very richly. That as Jesus says, that if he lost his life, he gained it. And much was given unto him. And so, from a story such as this, as we quickly ran through the chapter 13, there's many things that we can speak of as it would apply to today. Some of the things that we can speak of is choices and the ramification of choices. Another thing we can speak on is vexation of the spirit, as it was for Lot. And that we know that it's very impactful on our lives. So choices. Lot made a choice. And we make choices in our lives too. God gave us the ability to make choices. God gave us a free will. And so with that free will, we can make choices. We are not forced into any decisions, typically. We can make choices. God gave us that ability to make choices. But we have to know that with that gift of being able to make choices, that there comes responsibilities. And there are ramifications for the choices that we make. There's an impact of the choices that we make. We don't make our choices in a vacuum. So, as we make a choice, it will impact our lives, and it will impact those round about us as well, and it will impact perhaps future generations. We make choices in our daily lives, in the small minutiae, And then also we make choices in lifelong planning. Who our spouse might be, where we want to live, why we want to live there, and those types of things. Those choices that we make have long-term ramifications. So with that privilege comes responsibility of the choices that we make. The choices that we make will make us joyful. The choices that we make can make us sorrowful. Again, the choices that we make impact around those round about us as well, even as it did for Abraham and those that were with him, and as it did for Lot and those that were with him. The choices that we make, they impact those round about us. And so the direction and the source of good decision-making should be from the Holy Spirit. As the Spirit would direct us, we are to make good choices. We are to make choices based upon the Scriptures and what the Bible teaches that which we should do. And so we should make a good choice in that. Daniel was taken captive into Babylon, but he made a choice that he was not going to assimilate into the culture of the Babylonians. He made that choice, and he kept that choice. And he kept that for 70 years. But for Lot, he was impacted by the men of Sodom, which were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. The Bible many times is very sparing in the words that it uses. And here it doesn't say much beyond this, other than the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And that's where he was living. The choices that we make are very impactful in our lives. And we need to remember that as we make our daily choices and as we make lifelong choices in our lives. The Lord spoke in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy and said, I bear record, I set record in this day against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, and both thou and thy seed shall live. These are the choices that we can make, blessing or cursing, life or death. These are the choices that we make. Will we yield to Satan's temptations, or will we yield to the power of the Spirit? We make these choices in our lives. And God says, I bear record in this day against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. God's will is that all would come to the knowledge of the truth and to be all, for all men to be saved. That's his desire and his will for us. Ours is that we would choose life and walk in his ways, be directed by the Spirit, follow in his ways, follow in the way of the Lord. The Bible says, prove all things and follow that which is good. Prove it. Is this a good thing? Am I spending too much time online? Do I watch too many YouTube videos? Am I on Instagram a little bit too much? What choices am I making? Or can I glorify God in another manner? Can I do something for the Lord that would be a benefit to somebody else? These are choices that we make. Prove all things. Ever follow that which is good. Abstain from all appearances of evil, the Bible tells us. We live in a corrupt world. This world is corrupt, and Satan knows he has but a short time, and he is seeking to destroy us. And so it was in the time of Lot that the men of Sodom and Gomorrah, they were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceeding. That's who they were. And here it was, Lot, who was a righteous man, and he dwelled among them. Here's what the Apostle Peter has to say about this, that God delivered just Lot. This is the adjective, this is a description of Lot, that he was just, who was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. He was vexed. If you look up the Greek word for this instance of vex, it's to wear down. He was worn down by the filthy conversation of the wicked, the filthy lifestyle of those in Sodom, because they were sinners and wicked above all men, says the Lord, before the Lord. And so his soul was just worn down, Peter is saying here, with the filthy conversation of the wicked, with that filthy lifestyle that the men of Sodom lived in. He says, for that righteous man, Lot, that righteous man, dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Let's look at that verse a little bit. He's a righteous man. Lot was a righteous man. He lived with Abraham, who was a man of faith, and they dwelled together well. And he made a decision to go into this fertile land, but the issue was that there was wicked men in that area, and so Peter is saying that righteous man dwelling among them, he was living among them, in seeing and hearing. Lot was continually exposed to these wicked men of Sodom. His tent was right among them in the cities of the plain, right there in Sodom, and he was seeing and hearing their deeds continuously. It's the exposure. It's the exposure that Lot had in seeing and in hearing. He vexed. Now, in this instance, a vex means to oppress or to torture. He tortured his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. That's what was happening to Lot, because he was exposed to this sin of the men of Sodom, that seeing and hearing. Again, what do we expose ourselves to in seeing and hearing? Will we limit the sin or of this world or completely eradicate it in seeing and being exposed in seeing and hearing the things of this world? It wore down his soul. It wore him down. It was torturing him. It was oppressing him. And so likewise it is for us, that as we dwell in the midst of a sinful, wicked world, that it can wear us down too if we make wrong choices. But if we make a choice as Daniel made, that he would not assimilate to the culture of the Babylonians, then we also can make that choice, and we can also be blessed and be called righteous before the Lord. What do we expose ourselves to? Job said, I have made a covenant with mine eyes. Wherefore shall I think upon a maid? What do we expose ourselves to? The psalmist said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. We are not to be exposed to this world. We are not to allow ourselves to be continuously exposed to the things of this world, in hearing and seeing the deeds of this world. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. If there's something filthy on the TV or on the internet, turn it off. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. It shall not cleave to me. I will not be exposed to that. I will not let that to vex me, to wear me down, to torture me, to oppress me. And so we are to be separated from the world and its ways. Proverbs speaks of that. It says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. This is what Lot did. He went down into the path of the wicked and in the way of evil men. That was the issue that Lot had in what his decision was, in the choice that he made. We are not to enter into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. We are not to go there. We are not to have evil associations. The Bible also says, lest thou learn their ways and get a snare unto your soul. We are not to follow the ways of evil. We are not to go there and be continuously exposed to them. We are to be separate. And so the Bible in the New Testament says, wherefore come out from among them. This is what Lot should have done. As he went down there to the fertile plain, he was setting up his tents, and things were looking good. But then when he started seeing the wickedness of the people of Sodom, he should have said, nope, we're going to pack up our tents, and we're going to move on. It says, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Do we not want to be received by the Lord? Come out from among them, be ye separate. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. We want to pay attention when the Lord Almighty speaks. He says, choose this day, life or death, blessing or cursing. Choose life. Come out from among them, be ye separate. And I will receive you, and you're going to be my son, and you're going to be my daughter. This is what the Lord Almighty says. My prayer is that in the time of decision, that we would choose wisely and not let the world vex our soul. Amen.